is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Shaw Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It is Sunday morning, and you know what that means. It is time for The Fantasy Show. Talking week 14 in the National Football League across the Sportsnet Radio Network. I'm Andy McNamara alongside Shaw Ali. Let's go, baby. Last week of the fantasy regular season, we're pushing to the playoffs in real-life football, fantasy football. We will take you through fantasy football. Start six for every single game this week. Answer your questions at the top of the next hour on the People's text line, 590-590. You can also get us on Twitter, of course, at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, and at The Fantasy Show. You can follow us there. Get those questions in, because show... this is it. If it's your fantasy football season, you're either pushing to get that playoff spot, you're trying for seeding, or even if you're out of it, you're trying to ruin your league mates' years by maybe knocking them out of the playoffs, ruining your friend's day, ruining your friend's season. That's what fantasy football is really all about to me. If you can't win, drag as many people to hell with you.
Exactly. How you doing, buddy? Yeah, exactly, Andy. Right? You want to be the fantasy Grinch if you're not going to make the playoffs, right?
Yes.
Essentially, that's what you want to be. You want to be the fantasy Grinch. I in one particular league, I'm in five leagues this year, so I didn't make the playoffs in every single one. And in one particular league, I did manage to pick up Tua Tagovailoa. It's a super flex league, and I guess one particular manager who like dropped Tua because he's like in bad. He's like a lot of injuries. You know, he's missing Jalen Hurts. He's missing like other guys. I think Jonathan Taylor is one of them. Like, it's just bye weeks and everything else is, and you know, it's a very fierce battle to get into the next round of the playoffs. And he dropped Tua, and so another guy wanted to pick up Tua. So I spent every last available waiver dollar I had just to pick up Tua and stick him on the bench on his bye week, so no one else could use him in weeks going forward.
Well done. See, that's what I'm talking about, people. That's the type of pettiness. That's the type of attitude you want to say, hey, if I can't win, I'm not giving you a free pass.
Exactly.
I'm going to try in every way, shape, or form to impact this season. That's what you do. Don't give up. Don't be one of those non-roster setters. You know, finish strong. Finish with pride. Keep integrity in your fantasy league and keep going. I love that, show. I think that's good. You keep that. Then the guy's going to be like, show, and you're a part of ruining their day.
I also picked up the Cardinals defense, so I'm making as many roster moves as humanly possible.
Good for
and
you.
I encourage you all to do the same. If you did not make the playoffs, I encourage you all to do the same. I will say, some leagues, Andy, I don't know if you've ever played in a league like this, but some leagues do lock non-playoff teams from making roster moves. And I think if you're not paying money for those leagues, then you know what? Your commissioner can do whatever he wants, as far as I'm concerned. But for leagues where like you're actually paying to play, you should be able to make roster moves until the very end. Like, until the bitter, bitter end, essentially.
The bitter end. Like, I can understand. I did one year, actually, this is a few years ago.
Okay.
One year in one of my leagues, I missed the playoffs by like a... just all battered with injuries, whatever. It was. I just missed out. I was so bitter. So our commissioner forgot to lock roster moves from non-playoff teams once the playoffs started. Like, not going into it, but like, you know, week one of the playoffs, and the other teams who were just, you know, just there could still make moves. So I was making like, I was spending, I don't even think we had fab dollars. I think it was just waiver priority.
Right.
And nobody thought non-playoff. I was like, why would you? No one's that petty or bitter. Wrong. I was. And I just like ruined. And so they had like, it's now the Andy rule. They lock the rosters to make sure. Otherwise I will ruin your team. I will ruin it. But yeah, if it's there, you do it. You try to impact it. Right, Joe? And I think a little nugget for folks. Boy, if you can get the Denver Broncos defense. Woo boy. They're going up against the Detroit Lions, who show there's a real concern. They might not have enough players to roster a team today with all the COVID stuff.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, Andy. Would you, obviously the Denver Broncos, if that's a fantasy play, a great DFS play, right? Like that's going to be a very highly owned defense today, I'm sure. But let me ask you this. Who else on that offense would you want to start opposing offense against the Broncos? Anyone?
Like, that's today, or if the Lions were totally healthy?
No, today.
Oh, zero. Zero people.
Yeah, zero. What about the Jets? The Jets are another bereft fantasy offense today.
Are they, show, or is it time to get the milk out for some Braxton Berrios, baby? A little tease to the, maybe a tease to the Danger Zone pick later in the show.
Here we go.
Show, listen, man, I got, it was last night I was looking over, doing some reading, and I'm like, who would be a good play? And I just kept coming back to Berrios. I'm like, nah, come on, Andy. Nah, that's silly. Something kept drawing me back, drawing me in. And I'm like, dang it, I'm doing it. I'm getting him. Because I had Elijah Moore in one league. Now, I'm putting Berrios, I picked him up as one of those precautions because I had a couple of players who were sort of like fringy. I'm like, all right, in a desperation play, I'll do it. But I don't know. I'm starting to see where the Jets are really banged up, and we've seen in the past old Braxton Berrios popping. You know, so maybe you even sweeten it. Maybe you put a little honey on your Berrios. You know, maybe they're not honey now. Maybe they're plain. Put some honey on it.
I will say, like that kind of cereal, Andy, just like in a general sense, like the flaxseed honey, you know, the non-sugary cereals, pass. Hard pass for show.
What?
Hard pass.
No. I'll tell you what you do. Here's a tip, folks. Oh, you get the healthy, normal Cheerios.
Okay.
Right? And then you put actual real honey on it.
No one wants
that. So it's not the manufactured stuff. You put real honey.
No one wants
drizzle it on top. And you put your milk, and all of a sudden, you're next thing you know, you're starting Braxton Berrios on your fantasy team.
Give me sugar. I want sugar, just like sugar bombs. You know, Captain Crunch, Count Chocula.
No.
You know, Fruit Loops. I don't care what it is. I don't. Oh. As long as it's high sugar. I want. That's what I want in the morning.
And then you crash by 10 a.m. and that's it. And then, do you remember Cookie Crisp? Did you ever have that?
Yes.
I think it was only in the States. Really.
Yeah.
I had it one time. We had one box. We got it from Florida as a kid. It was the greatest thing. I remember as a kid, you couldn't wrap my head around. I'm like, I'm eating chocolate chip cookies for breakfast. It was amazing. And then you read reports like obesity in the United States. It's like, yeah, probably. You're eating chocolate chip cookies with milk for breakfast. Yes. Of course there's a weight issue in the United States.
Ooh,
Lord.
Nesquik cereal, Andy. Ooh, and you drink the chocolate milk once you're done.
I'll give you that one.
Give me that one.
I'll give you that one. That one's pretty. Hey, you know what? Hey, give us your favorite breakfast cereal. That make me hungry, show. At AndyMC81, at SNSLE, and at show will send you a box of your favorite cereal. No,
I will not. I will not do that.
He will mail you out a box of plain Cheerios, no name.
I'll mail one single Cheerio to an envelope. Just one Cheerio by itself.
See, people would start. They would start investigating you for like, oh, what's this? The stalker doing, like, it's like a message, like cutting letters out of a magazine, right? Like one Cheerio. What's that?
Psycho sending Cheerios to people in the mail. Yeah. With the Sportsnet 590 the Fan letterhead.
Oh, you do that. And then the next time, like you have it each day. And then the next day there's two in there and three. Be like, what does this mean? Or you do it the other way. You have like 10. That's a countdown to something. We're getting dark. Dark this morning on the fantasy show. Let's talk about some of the news and notes that are impacting this week. We said it with the Detroit Lions. Not to say anybody not named DeAndre Swift or TJ Hawkinson, you would really be interested in playing anyway on your fantasy team. But, show, it's just like you can't – like they're going to know today whether any of the running backs can play. There's talk maybe they'll have to move the game to Monday. I just think this is a spot where, you know, the Denver Broncos defense, of course, is a smash play. And I think even more so than usual of just playing the regular Detroit Lions – you have to up the fantasy value for the playmakers for most of these Broncos.
Yeah, I would think so, right? I would definitely think so. I mean, you know, I think, you know who I actually don't mind today as a play, even though I would say on the whole this year, kind of disappointing, Noah Fant. I actually like the Noah Fant play because he has quietly been, since Jerry Jeudy's return, kind of like just completely annihilated Cortland Sutton's fantasy value, right? I want to say that Jerry Jeudy has been the top targeted guy, but I feel like the one of the best pass catching fantasy producers has been Noah Fant. Because of course I think you're for sure starting Javonte Williams, right? Like I think no matter what, you pretty much have to get him in there at this point. He was phenomenal last week, and now you know you get another chance to start him in a great spot. So I think you're starting him for sure. But of the wide receivers, and the tight ends and so on. Yeah, I like the Noah Fant play today. Maybe that might be my danger zone pick. Who knows?
Okay, you know, we'll dip into the Denver and Detroit game a little bit later on in the show. Now, when we look at really the injuries elsewhere, and this is where show like the COVID cases are spiking, and there's all these what if injuries and all that. It's a spot where I think when you look at where you want to go, you really have to try to plan ahead as much as possible, more so than usual. And really look at today, folks, because this is such a crunch week. Guys like, all right, let's look at, you know, J.D. McKissic, one of those running backs that, yeah, if you have guys on, there's four teams. Last week of buys, thank goodness. You have people on buys. Concussion, long shot to play today. Curtis Samuel, also, like, I'm not playing Curtis Samuel anyway, but he's a long shot to play. Debo Samuel for the 49ers, though, show. Apparently, likely to play. Hasn't really practiced all week with a quad. Could be on a pitch count, which is scary. And then you go for, like, I don't even know why they update the Giants wide receivers. Like, Galladay, Tony, Mike Glennon. If you're clamoring for Mike Glennon, you've already lost.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's just the reality of the situation.
I'm sorry. Now, for the Bengals, Joe Mixon illness and T. Higgins ankle both listed as questionable are expected to play against the 49ers, which is really big moves. Those are two impactful guys. And Tony Pollard is going to be a game time decision for the Cowboys, who actually show Pollard has really worked his way in to not just a handcuff role, but pretty much an every week flex option, which I think is interesting considering you have Zeke on the lineup.
Well, you know, it's funny. Like, I mean, that's definitely been the case basically all season, which I'm sure will be interesting when we're discussing, like, Ezekiel Elliott's place in the top 10 running backs next year, for example, right? And I think the A.J. Dillon conversation kind of, like, on a similar tack, right, will be another interesting conversation when we get to that same spot for the Packers next year. But I will say that when it comes to Tony Pollard, isn't it funny? Like, I think, what did he tear? He tore his, like, plantar fasciitis?
Plantar fasciitis.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, which I've never heard of you being able to tear. Like, I've heard of, like, strain. I guess you can tear anything in the human body, I suppose. But, yeah, it's like that. Apparently, it's super painful. And especially when you think it, whenever we talk about players that have to plant, pivot, push, which I guess is most NFL players, but especially for running backs where you have to make those, like, your ankles are more important than your shoulder, your elbow, you know, like you need that. So when you have something like that in your foot, that would be, apparently it can be excruciating, and that's without a tear. So I don't know, what, you know, freeze it or something, but I would just question how much he's used and his effectiveness, because Pollard is best in space. He's not really an in-between-the-tackle type of guy. He's a space guy. So if you can't make that quick cut, I'm not sure how useful you're going to be.
Yeah, that's the problem, right? I'm honestly not sure all that much as well either. So I don't know that I would want to get him in there, although he looks like he's still going to play. So I just don't know how much you want to rely on him from a fantasy point of view. Although, like I said, Zeke has been, boy, it's been a disappointing year, right? It's been a disappointing. Mm-hmm. I know he's been a little banged up, and that's for sure something that he's probably going to deal with for the rest of the season. But I just can't help but look at Ezekiel Elliott and basically most running backs in the NFL who are not like Austin Eckler or like Najee Harris, for example. But a lot of these guys who have a lot of, you know, tread on the tires, let's say, mm-hmm. have kind of started to slow down, right? I mean, you look at Derrick Henry, and I know there was the news this morning that Derrick Henry could be back for the playoffs, like the real life playoffs, like week 18. Playoff. So by that point, unless you're already in an untenable, you know, week 18 championship, which we recommend to avoid if at all possible. Mm-hmm. But if you are in there, maybe that'll affect you for Derrick Henry. But by and large, it seems like Derrick Henry will not be a factor this year for the fantasy playoffs. But I mean, he's going to return maybe ? By the beginning of the actual playoffs. And you got Christian McCaffrey, who's on injured reserve now, and you got Alvin Kamara, who's banged up, and he's going to play, but still he's been banged up for like almost a month now. It's crazy how much like these running backs who are all such dynamic, amazing players do take these injuries, and then it changes their careers in what feels like a blink of an eye, essentially.
That's right. And our own technical director, Josh Santos, says he had plantar fasciitis himself and took him over a year to heal.
Got to
drink
that a
softball. That was in the chat. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to. We're supposed to read out the private chat. That might have been private medical information.
Too late now.
Santos is not a professional athlete.
Okay.
Show. Right. He's not. Now, that is that okay, Show? What is more less impressive? Santos, plantar fasciitis out over a year from a softball game, just destroyed, no more softball,
mm-hmm.
or me legitimately straining a hamstring, pulling it, and having to go to physio after getting up too quickly off the couch from playing 4 consecutive hours of MLB 08 The Show back in 2008?
What's more impressive?
What is the better lame injury when it comes to sports? Because I was intensely back in 2008, MLB 08 The Show. I was doing my creative character. I was working my way up mm-hmm. from like the minors in the Blue Jays organization. You know, I never got past AAA. I never got to the show. I never got to the show as my creative character. But legitimately pull. I had to go to physio. For my hamstring, for getting up too fast. I was like, ah!
were any of your kids or the wife around when this happened?
No, that was before I was married and before kids.
Oh, okay, thank goodness.
Do you think I have 4 straight hours to do anything that is not work these days, Show? 4 hours, 20 minutes for video games, are you kidding me?
That's like, true. You know what, that's totally fair. I did not consider that. You're right. You probably if you managed to sit on the toilet by yourself for like for 5 minutes, probably
it's a victory.
Yeah, it's a victory. Yeah, I'll go with yours.
Also, it was legitimate.
Do you remember who the cover athlete for MLB The Show was?
In 08?
Yeah.
Was it Pujols?
It was Ryan Howard for the Philadelphia Phillies. The big piece, Ryan Howard. I honestly forgot I haven't thought about Ryan Howard in like maybe about 100 years. That's what it feels like. I don't even remember.
Yeah.
I don't even remember when that guy retired, but like it feels like it was a long time ago.
I don't remember him being doing anything special past that. Jeez. But anyway, so that's plantar fasciitis. We have confirmation that it does suck, thanks to Josh Santos, our technical director. Right. So that has been confirmed. Sources have confirmed plantar fasciitis. No good, Show. You don't want that.
Salt
indeed.
Great.
Let's talk a little bit about the Thursday nighter and all the Pittsburgh Steelers. All the Steeler fans, all whining and crying. Oh, it feels so good. I want to talk about salt, Show. I want their salty tears in a cup, maybe in a bottle, with Big Ben, that meme, that gif of him crying last year when the Browns eliminated him, just in a bottle so I can drink the Steeler tears. 36-28. The Vikings stomped them. However, that late comeback was making me a bit nervous. That was pretty close.
But Andy, I seem to recall something from last week.
I'm rooting for the Steelers today.
Yeah,
I thought that happens.
That happens every week.
I'm rooting for the Steelers today. Oh, I forgot about that one. But you know what? The Steelers came through when I needed them. They came through. They beat the Ravens, and then I needed them to lose, and they lost. So they are being quite agreeable.
Yeah. So now, I think you have to be a Steelers fan now, Andy.
I'm rooting for the Steelers today. I will never wear their combo colors and their pea yellow terrible towels. I'm rooting for the Steelers today. That is, you need more water urine colored towels.
Andy's crying, like just crying through his laughter, just you know, thinking that he has to root for the Steelers now.
But hey, how about that Chase Claypool
thing? Yeah, that's true.
A Show? Mm-hmm. Like Chase Claypool getting garbaged on after not a great look celebrating that late. And really, you know, you got one touchdown, 2-point conversion. You tie that thing, you're forcing overtime, right?
Yeah, like they could have, they probably should have had at least one more shot at the end zone. And who knows if that would have just, like, who knows if that would have ended in a pick or a touchdown or what have you. Like, who knows, right? But they probably should have at least had the attempt, and they didn't because of Chase Claypool, right? So
that's just not
a great, like, football IQ play, as they say, right? So that's definitely going to be something that is going to stick with him for a while. And
immature.
I mean, I know he's a young guy, but I mean, I don't know if that's entirely an excuse. He should, like, know, right? If you watch the broadcast, too, it's really funny. If you can find that highlight, you can see Kendricks and Harrison Smith, 2 defensive players for the Vikings. You know, like in those situations, like in literally any other game, these guys will, like any defensive player will, you know, they'll like lie on the player for like 2 more seconds because they want to like, you know, inhibit them from
run
getting
the
up. Yeah, just screw with them a little bit, right? You can clearly see they're about to do it. And then they both see Chase Claypool showboating, and they just immediately, both of them immediately back off, and they just walk away. And he's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you see the Steelers teammate run up to him, like physically grab him and yank him towards the sideline. I got to say, that got a good belly laugh out of me when I was watching that on Thursday night. What did not get a belly laugh out of me, Andy, is that I did start Pat Freiermuth. And you know what? He got the touchdown early in the game, but that was like, honestly, that was a great catch, a great throw from Big Ben at the very end of the game. It was just an even better play by Harrison Smith.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, when you're, is it a smart play to play Pat Freiermuth still? Yeah, because yeah, like we've talked about, like if you can have a tight end 1 week and get like 9 points in the NFL, like nine fantasy points.
That's a win.
That's if in PPR show he had 2 catches, 1 touchdown, 11.2 fantasy points. Would you take it?
Yeah, you take that on a run. You run with that. Absolutely.
11 point, if you can get that 11.2, like that is a win in today's NFL for your fantasy team. So, yeah, for Claypool, that is certainly not the traditional Steelers way. And he got dumped on and just super immature. And just like the me guy. And this goes back to last year's show, too, when he was all TikToking with Juju and all like complaining and whining and crying and all that after his team got eliminated and all that. So it's, I don't know. He might be going down sort of more of the prima donna route, which isn't a great look when statistically, I don't blame him as far as the quarterback play, but statistically a very down year from his rookie season.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Right. I mean, like, I still think like Chase Claypool's entire like story, I guess, as a wide receiver is so the beginning still, right? So I think like there's so much of his career left. I'll be really interested to see once Big Ben is off the glue factory next year. I'll be really interested to see who's throwing the ball to Chase Claypool. How does that work, right? Like, how does it work with Deontay Johnson in there? How does it work with Pat Freiermuth and Najee Harris? Like, they have a loaded group of skill position players, and they won't have Big Ben next season, right? I will say, I thought at halftime of that game, I thought Big Ben would have revised his retirement plans to right then and there. I'm not coming back out for the second half. I'm retiring. It doesn't look good. And then, you know what? I have to admit, he played very well, and the Vikings defense also played very poorly, but he played very well in the second half to the point, I think on the way to like a 24-point finish against the Vikings if you started him. So after a dire first half, if you started Big Ben, you're probably not feeling too bad going into the rest of these games today and tomorrow.
Well, I think it's more where it's turned into, like, Deontay Johnson has turned into, in this year, now moving forward, like you said, who knows, but Deontay Johnson is one of the best just straight up PPR plays in the NFL.
What a monster.
Like, right? Like if you're looking at it, absolutely phenomenal. Everybody else gets downgraded. So you're right. When you're looking ahead to Steelers players for next year, yeah, who's the quarterback? Is it going to be a battle between Mason Rudolph and Dwayne Haskins? Boy, I sure hope so. I hope so. Woohoo! Let's go. Yeah, go ahead. Play Mason Rudolph. Let's see how you like that. Start your own QB jersey.
It'll be Matt Ryan. That's who it's going to be. It'll be Matt Ryan, Andy.
I don't know if that's much better than
it's kind of the thing, right? Like, especially if the offensive line doesn't get fixed, boy. But I mean, you know what? It's not going to be Big Ben next year, which it will be really interesting to see where a lot of these Pittsburgh Steelers get placed on like the overall rankings.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll get through our fantasy football start sits, but show some sad news in the world of the NFL earlier this week.
Yeah, of course. If you're an NFL fan, if you're a fantasy football fan, before we hit the break here, you know, you probably heard of the passing of 33-year-old wide receiver Demaryius Thomas, who played, I believe, 8 full seasons for the Denver Broncos. I believe he won the Super Bowl with them and with Peyton Manning and so on. And then I believe he played a season with the Jets, and then he had like an off-season.
4-time Pro Bowler.
Yeah, he was a phenomenal player,
yeah.
Right? I think a premature investigation said it was a medical issue, right? So it was he was found deceased at his home in Georgia, which is really sad. So, you know, best wishes to his family, you know, rest in peace, DT. But you know, I feel like when you think of Demaryius Thomas, Andy, you think like he got 69 touchdown passes, nice, in his career. But I will say as well that I think if you think of any one of those passes You think of one in particular, okay? This was from the AFC wild card game in 2011. I think technically in 2012. It was like January 2012. But it was for the 2011 season. Steelers at Broncos at Mile High. And this was the very first play of overtime with Tim Tebow at quarterback.
Shotgun for Tim Tebow. Short motion is Eddie Royal. Tim play fakes in the pocket, sets, throws, pass off. Demaryius Thomas out over the 45 midfield. Here we go. 40, 35, foot race. 20, 15, 10. Touchdown, Denver. It's over. It's over in Denver. The crowd has lost their mind. It is over.
That, like, Andy, that has got to be so that has got to be one of the when I think of the Denver Broncos, at the very least, like in the new millennium, that has got to be one of the plays you think about the most, right? Like I know for people of an older vintage, you might think of the John Elway stuff and Terrell Davis and so on, but like for like newish fans, especially in that era, like from the Josh McDaniels, Tim Tebow era all the way to now with Peyton Manning in the middle there. In the Super Bowl championship, certainly. I feel like you think of that play because it was the very first play of overtime, 80-yard touchdown. Tim Tebow probably made his best throw of his entire career right there.
Yeah.
And the Broncos moved on and sent Mile High into a frenzy.
That was amazing. Eat that, Squealers. How you like that? That was great with Tebow slinging it.
Slinging it, man.
R.I.P. though. That is very sad. Yeah, but much too young. I'm just looking at his stats too again. Show, yeah, 4-time Pro Bowler, like 1,400 plus yards. Three times 1,300. Another went 1,600 plus and 11. Yeah. Wow,
he was fantastic. Like if you're a fantasy football player at that time, like in the around 2010, all the way up to I guess yeah the Peyton Manning era, you probably had him on a team. Like someone listening to this program probably had him on a team. I think I rostered him like 5 straight years. I mean, he was absolutely a monster. Probably one of the more underrated receivers of his era, I would say, because he didn't have a super long career, so you know, you don't like think about it too much, but when he was active, he was just a monster. So yeah, I just, you know what, RIP Demaryius. Hope you're doing well up there wherever you are, and best wishes to his family, Andy.
Yeah, from 2012 to 2017, whew, what a run.
Yeah.
Well done. All right, so we will take the break, come back, and begin our fantasy football start sits for every single game for NFL Week 14. Get you ready for the Sunday and Monday slate. This is the Fantasy Show you're listening across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Show Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
We are back and rolling on The Fantasy Show, Canada-wide, across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Good morning, everybody. Andy McNamara with Show Ali on Twitter. At AndyMC81, at SNSLE, at The Fantasy Show. You can send in your fantasy football questions there or on the People's text line, 590-590. We'll answer your questions at the top of the hour. Big week, Show. This is it. You're seeding in your fantasy pool or just making the playoffs, maybe that top seed, or you're playing spoiler to ruin your opponent's week. So there is a lot to get to here. And Show, we begin with, for me, primetime game of this season. Ravens.
Of the season.
Versus.
My goodness.
Yes. If the Browns lose, it's over.
All right.
It's over, Show. You're going to get a crabby Andy the rest of the year. I'm already usually half crabby.
It's true.
This is it. In Cleveland, 8-4 Ravens coming in to face the 6-6 Browns. Lamar Jackson. Oh, where's this, like, this godlike thrower of the football here? How many interceptions has Lamar Jackson had in the last number of weeks, Show? Now, here's the thing. I can run him down for his poor throwing. I can run him down for having multiple interceptions. At 4, in fact, 2 weeks ago, and just keeps throwing picks. However, the main thing, Show, is at the end of the game, what's the scoreboard say? And for the most part this year with the Ravens, outside of the Steelers beating them, it's been a W. So it doesn't really matter the stat line. for real life football if you get that W at the end. But fantasy wise, Lamar Jackson has been a colossal disappointment the last month, and really dating back to week six outside of the odd splurge here and there.
Yeah, 8 interceptions, Andy, in the past 4 games, and 4 of those came in that game against the 8 interceptions in the past 4 games.
Oh yeah,
that's the stuff, right? That's what gets you going in the morning. And here's the thing: four of those interceptions came in that game against the Browns, and the Ravens still somehow won that game, which is insane. So. He had 9.4 fantasy points in that game against the Browns. He got sacked like a million times, I want to say. And this year, like, he hasn't, like, obviously what we've talked a lot about with Lamar Jackson is, can he sustain like fantasy production on the ground? Because even when he's not like slinging it very well, which sometimes happens with him, you still get like, 100 yards rushing or something like that, right? He only has 2 rushing touchdowns and only 2 games with over 100 yards rushing. I still think, largely speaking, you know what? I don't know that in week 14 you want to get like super cute and bench Lamar Jackson, because like the way things go, it'll be this week, that the week that you bench him and then he like explodes for 30 points or something absurd like that. So I just generally speaking, I would not bench Lamar Jackson, but I think you do have to be cautious with him. You know what the start I like for the Ravens today? I mean, you're obviously starting Mark Andrews. That's like a non-starter, right? Like, you're not – there's no question about that. But I think Devontae Freeman has been, like, relatively speaking, pretty solid, actually. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if it's because he came in, like, essentially halfway through the season, like, at the time when he signed with the Ravens and was, like, fresher or what have you. But, I mean, even though guys like Murray and other running backs in this kind of, like, running back room had been, you know, they've been – healthier, Devontae Freeman has been like a decently solid RB2, and I expect him, like, especially with the way Lamar himself has been struggling, I expect him to kind of continue that for the rest of the year.
He's been a pleasant surprise. I picked him up on one of my teams a few weeks back in a desperation for whatever injury thing I was going through, and really, like, the guy's hit double-digit fantasy points every week since week 6, except for week 10. In Miami, when they had that shocking loss, and when they played Cleveland 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But other than that, show, you're right, getting consistent carries. And what I'm hearing as well is that they are going to, they did it a bit last week, and they're going to try to continue to it. They want, with all those Lamar Jackson interceptions, they want to give him some safer throws. So they're trying to work in passing to the running backs more. Devontae Freeman, decent ball catcher. So that could up his value as well in PPR for this game. I think what you do is not look for the I can't wait to see again how many freaking Rashad Bateman texts we get. Don't play Bateman, people.
No, don't do
it's not,
it.
It's not Bateman's fault. Like, every week show, what about Bateman? Listen, folks, I know you like this college tape. I did too. Okay, I did. Not on the team where you want a wide receiver because they can't get the football to him. Not Bateman's fault. Don't start Bateman.
Well, it's weird, right?
But
like
Freeman,
it was strange, Andy. They like last week, Bateman had 0 points last week, right? He went without a catch, yards, obviously. But it was odd. Sammy Watkins has somehow, like, I don't know if it's just like a familiarity thing, but since Watkins has come back, he's like outtouched on the whole Rashad Bateman, generally speaking, right? Which is kind of odd, right? I mean, you would think that if you wanted to work in your like relatively high drafted, wide receiver for an offense that needs a wide receiver, you would think you'd lean more on Rashad Bateman than Sammy Watkins or Devin Duvernay, for example. I'm not like crapping on those guys. It's just like, you would think, you know, we always say follow the draft capital and so on. I'm just surprised that is the case. You know what I mean? But I mean, that is what it is. And obviously you're starting Hollywood Brown too, right? The guy here's a fun stat for you on Hollywood, Andy. Marquise Brown has averaged 11.2 targets a game since week 7. And the last time out versus the Browns, he had 10 targets. So, I mean, like, there's no way you can humanly possibly sit Marquise Hollywood Brown.
No. Now the trouble is, show hasn't had a touchdown since week 7. And that's where that fantasy value, while I'm with you, you're going to start him. I would just say, like, for me, I have the production that we've seen out of Hollywood Brown, as far as point wise, he falls into a flex category for me. I'm not saying you don't play him. I think you definitely find a way to get him into the lineup because, like you said, that target share, and it just takes one break to have a huge day. My expectations for him are more in a WR3 or flex category, just based on, despite the targets, the outcome. But I'm with you. The targets go to him and Mark Andrews.
Yeah, they're the only two, and now Freeman, right? Freeman had nine targets last week, which is insane, right? So yeah, I think they're the only three guys you can start on this offense. And I mean, that's pretty good, right? If you can start three, and if you count Lamar Jackson four, that's pretty good. And on the Brown side of things, I mean, I think we know about Nick Chubb, and we know about Kareem Hunt, all things considered. I think Kareem Hunt is still working his way back from, he was first game back from injury last week. You know, maybe you see him work into the passing game a little more this week. So Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, you know about. But, apart from Jarvis Landry, are you starting anyone else of this pass-catching group? Are you taking a chance on Austin Hooper at this point? No? Where are you at?
No. I honestly would probably be even a little wary on Jarvis Landry. I think, again, flex spot, PPR only and flex. This is going to, with that week off, because the Browns coming off of that late bye last week, Kareem Hunt the week before shook off the rust from that injury. So I think they light him up as far as including him more. Kevin Stefanski admitted they got away from having the running backs involved. Those are your two best players. Don't overcomplicate things. Get the ball into the hands of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, and when it's not to them, get it to Jarvis Landry. So I think Nick Chubb, RB1, when you look at Kareem Hunt, super high-end flex, and Jarvis Landry probably in that flex WR3 category based on, again, that target share, not necessarily the production there as far as fantasy points or touchdowns. He still has zero receiving touchdowns. He's run in a couple this year. So you're really limited by him not getting into the end zone. But, yeah, those are really the only serviceable pieces that I see.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, Jarvis Landry. Yeah, I mean, the only reason I brought it up is because I think he had his best game of the year against the Ravens, right?
So yes, I mean, you 111
can,
yards.
Yeah, so you can always, I think, you can kind of take it two ways. He had his best game of the year against the Ravens, so maybe you can expect that to happen again. Or the Ravens, knowing that he kind of shredded them last time out, go out of their way to stop him, right? So I think you can, and I would probably convince me on either of those things. But at the same time, yeah, I mean, considering there are just not that many fantasy relevant pass catchers in Cleveland, I think again, yeah, WR3 flex category for Landry is where I'll fall.
Yep, for sure. All right, let's go on to the next one. And this is the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Tennessee Titans. And, Show, I don't know if you've been reading all the stuff, internal squabbles with Urban Meyer. Yeesh, that dude might not be back next year, man. It's a mess. He's calling out coaches and players. And this is the problem sometimes when you get these high-end college coaches who can't wrap their head around the fact that you can't, scream at these players or coaches because they're I make more than you do, dude. Or even if you don't, it's I'm rich. I don't need this. In college, of course, right, Joe? It's hey, you don't do what I say, I'll make sure you never see the NFL. Yes, mister. And you're all panicked. But there, you're in the show. You're getting paid. It's not working. He's having, the videos and all that. It is messed up in Jacksonville.
Yeah, my goodness. Yeah, Urban Meyer, there were some reports that he called all of the assistant coaches together and forced them to defend their career accolades to him, to say, why are you good? And he berates his assistant coaches. And I'm
he hired me.
Yeah, he hired all of these guys. How could he find, you idiots, the guy who hired you must be a real dumb.
you know the resume. You hired me.
Oh, good God. Yeah, I don't know what's going on in Jacksonville. I mean, the guy's getting paid, $12 million a year? So maybe Shad Khan is just waiting until the offseason to fire him because I'm sure every last one of those dollars are guaranteed for coaches, right? But, yeah it's a mess. And, I mean, we saw last week. I mean, look, the only really viable fantasy play, especially with Dan Arnold, our guy, Darnold, out for the season on the injured reserve, right? The only guy I feel you can feel comfortable starting was James Robinson. And James Robinson was, inexplicably benched last week. I mean, he did fumble, I get it. But, I mean, it was his first fumble all season. And it was against the person who forced the fumble was Aaron Donald. So it wasn't he just let the ball drop to the turf. The best defensive player in the entire NFL punched the ball out for his first fumble of the year, and he got benched. And only after Trevor Lawrence begged him to put him back in did he get some more play. I don't know. It's a mess in Jacksonville. I guess if you have to start James Robinson, you can probably start him as an RB2. Or, maybe a mid to low tier RB2 just because that entire offense is struggling mightily. But boy, I hope your season doesn't come down to relying on whether or not Urban Meyer feels like giving James Robinson more minutes on the field.
Like, and he has, it seems like he could just go super defiant and say, no, I'm not playing any of them because I'm Urban Meyer and all. Like, for your quarterback to come in, and the press conference after last week's game too, it was the first time ever I've heard, I can't remember the exact words or whatever, but it was like the reporter asked him a question after the game and Urban Meyer like agreed with the reporter where he's like, oh yeah, I didn't think of that. I was like, why didn't you do this play? He's like, huh, that's a good idea. Yeah, I should probably do that. It's like, what? The reporter came up like on the office, like, yeah, you know what? I probably should have done that. Well, all right. Maybe next week.
Next time, yeah. What are you going to do?
Thanks. Ugh. It's like, really? Yeah, it's a mess. Now, the James Robinson play, I'm in a situation personally where I'm going to play him. I'm going to hope sanity prevails and he gets put in there. The one thing to look at, if they can somehow use this as a rallying us against the world cry and get sorted, Tennessee's defense is a disaster show. You have 1, 2, 3, 4 starters out from nose tackle to two linebackers to Jenkins is out at corner. It is really banged up in the backups are injured too. Like, that's a situation where if you're half smart, you might be able to exploit it and get some points. So I think for that James Robinson play is nice for the Titans. This is where it gets interesting. Julio Jones back in with that hammy. I don't know, Joe. Are you like, Julio Jones just doesn't excite me anymore.
I'll say this. I think Julio can be started as like a WR3 or a flex. I agree with you that I really, like I said, for James Robinson, I really, really, really hope your season does not come down to like a Julio Jones play. Because I think there probably is like a decent risk that he can like re-aggravate like whatever, the hamstring injury or whatever it was. So, I think we're all hoping that he doesn't, but I think the Titans need it so desperately. They need it so badly in the passing game that I think you can start him today against the Jags. I know the Jags have been a little stingy through the air as of late, but I mean, you know what? Maybe this is the time for some Julio magic. For what it's worth, I did put Julio as a start in my weekly start set article for sportsnet.ca. just because, okay, I think the target share will be there. I don't know that you want to trust, like, Westbrook Ekine or like Chester Rogers or Michael Pruitt or like Anthony Firkser at this point. Like, I think the only viable pass catcher really, really is Julio. And I think you don't want to be gambling on anyone else.
You're not jumping in the pool to swim with Swaim? Ugh, Jeff
no.
Swaim?
No,
Joe?
You.
No, we're not.
We're not swimming
today. Cannonballing
in?
We're
not swimming.
We're not
today.
Swimming. Firkser's actually third on the depth chart now. Michael Pruitt is ahead of him.
Ugh.
Good gravy. Yeah, you know what, though? So, here is a lot of questions I've been getting all week, and I'm sure we'll get today. The running back situation in Tennessee. Dontre Foreman, Dontrell Hilliard, Jeremy McNichols. That's the question. So here's how I break this down, Joe. Look at the usage. What are the roles of these running backs? Now, Dontrell Hilliard was brought off the practice squad and balled out, which is great, but that's because Jeremy McNichols was injured. What is Dontrell Hilliard being used as? He's being used as a third down pass catcher back with a couple big plays. Good on him. Jeremy McNichols is back. Both will be active. So to me, what that says is Hilliard and McNichols have the same role. So you're just going to be splitting between those two. I wouldn't start any of them. I think it's Dontre Foreman is the play because he is the one that is going to be getting the carries on first and second down. And if it's, close, probably get it on third down. So that is the standalone job where the other two should not be cutting into, whereas they'll sort of just neuter themselves, Hilliard and McNichols, on that third down side. Foreman is the go play to me.
All right. Well, you know what? Spoiler alert, Andy. We have a lot of Dontrell Hilliard questions on the text line here. So
there you go.
We will be answering your questions, by the way, in about 10, 12 minutes here. So get them in at 590, 590. Leave your name and location so we can give you a shout out. I see a whole bunch here on the text line already. Ben, Chris, Jeff, Scott from the Hammer, Tony, et cetera, John. So we'll get to all your texts in about 10, 15 minutes, let's say.
All right, let's move on to the next game. We got Raiders at the Chiefs. Last time they played, Kansas City just absolutely destroyed them. Raiders are a weird team, show, right? Because at times this year, like, they've had to overcome a lot. Mm-hmm. You got John Gruden, you got the Henry Ruggs, you got the injuries. There's a whole bunch of stuff that they've had to overcome. And for the most part, like, they have, but just when you kind of think you got them figured out, they do something weird, or they get blown out, or whatever, right? So you look at the Kansas City game from, what was it, week 10, mm-hmm. 41-14. They lost two out of their next three as well. They were defeated by the, all of a sudden, very plucky Washington football team. You're in Kansas City. I think the best case scenario for fantasy players is you get sort of that 41-point side from Kansas City again, but then instead of 14 points for the Raiders, you know, maybe you up that to 30, 35, and you have some fun with it.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I definitely think there are going to be a lot of fantasy viable players in this game just because both teams, I mean, they give up a decent amount of points, even though the Chiefs defense has actually been playing much, much better as of late. Although I think much, much better for the Chiefs defense really just means they're not the worst defense in the NFL anymore.
Correct.
They're just like the 10th worst defense. So it's, and,
yes.
But I mean, that's
yes.
still like a massive improvement. So you know what? Good for them. But when it comes to the Raiders, I mean, you could probably get away. I think Darren Waller is officially out, right? I think that he was ruled out like yesterday or the day before.
Yes,
So I think that essentially means you can get away with starting Derek Carr, Josh Jacobs, Hunter Renfrow, and Foster Moreau, right? Like, you're not starting DeShaun Jackson or Bryan Edwards, really, I think, ever, really,
no.
Unless you're, like, in a 14 or a 16-team league here. I think, apart from that, you're starting Derek Carr. Josh Jacobs, for example, he exploded.
RB1.
Yeah, he just was
Stud.
Amazing last week. He's finally healthy. I mean, he's been healthy for a couple weeks now, as we've been saying on this show. But, I mean, no Kenyon Drake, I think, is important to remember, right? Kenyon Drake is done for the year. And he wasn't exactly, like, super fantasy relevant outside, like, the one week where he had, like, 25 points on, like, six touches or something absurd like that. But Kenyon Drake is done for the season with the broken ankle, unfortunately. So, Josh Jacobs, you would imagine, is just going to get more work. And Hunter Renfrow, we you know, you banged the drum for Hunter Renfrow virtually all season.
Oh.
He I get, like, I feel
paying
like
the way
I look for at Hunter Renfrow, Andy, and I look at him as an every week WR2 with upside to be a WR1, just depending on how much Derek Carr throws the ball
like
in any
it.
Given week.
Absolutely. I think that's a great way to put him, considering you would have got him for nothing like I did off of waivers early in the year. What a absolute stud. He only hasn't reached the teens in fantasy points in PPR show. Twice all year. You talk about consistent. I love Hunter Renfrow. Hunter Renfrow and Cordarrelle Patterson. Those are the two waiver wire stars, in my opinion, for this
year. I just like to say real quick that you did not pick him up in our league, and so I picked him up after you banged the drum, and he's been my starting lineup all season.
Oh, I know. Maybe. You know what? In my other league, I did. Okay. In my other league. You sniped me on him. It must have been waiver priority or something. You got me.
Oh, yeah. $2.
You got me, show.
Spent $2 for Hunter Renfrow.
Spent $2. Yeah. Renfro's been amazing. Notables as well. Josh Jacobs, like we said, RB1. Jalen Richard out. Peyton Barber in. And Barber, he can be a weird little player to sometimes pop up out of nowhere. I'm not saying start him, but that's just something to, I don't know, keep in mind a little bit there with Peyton Barber being active. For the Chiefs show, same old, right?
Yep, usual suspects,
nothing
Andy.
New.
Yep.
Nothing new. Mahomes, Kelsey, obviously, Hill. You're in the situation again. Are they having the spectacular seasons we've been used to? No. Can you afford to bench them? Also, absolutely not.
Yeah,
who
exactly.
else are you going to get?
Exactly.
I get this question, show. Travis Kelsey. My answer, who are you going to place instead of Travis Kelsey? Who? Who are you going to put in? Nobody. No, the answer is nobody. You're not going to put anybody in with anywhere close to the potential of Travis Kelsey anywhere at this time of year, and even in general. So you keep playing those guys. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I think, back in RB2.
Yeah, I think that's probably it for me when it comes to the Chiefs. It's, again, there's just not a lot to say. You're not benching Hill. You're not benching Kelsey. And I know Mahomes hasn't been a QB1 in a couple of weeks, but, I mean, it's hard to bench him unless your other QB, if you even roster another QB, is like Josh Allen or someone like that, right? Like Joe Burrow maybe this week, depending on how you view that matchup, right? It's just you're starting all the usual suspects, and you kind of have to roll with it at this point of the season. You want to squeeze in Saints Jets before we hit the break?
I do. I do want to squeeze in Saints Jets. Show, oh boy,
be a quick one.
Taysom Hill, woohoo! Oh, a fantasy kryptonite, folks. My arch nemesis, Taysom Hill. Well, again, I'm sure he's the nicest guy, but I couldn't just help. If I ever meet Taysom Hill, just scowling at him, he'd be like, "What? Why ain't doing anything?" He's probably like handing out like toys for tots at Christmas. It's like, "You stinking, you." He's like, "What? What'd I do?" T- Taysom Hill, fantasy poison. Good news, though, Alvin Kamara back in. But, Joe, as we know, you know, touchdown when it gets to the goal line, if it's Trevor Siemian in, you can count on Kamara getting the ball. If it's Taysom Hill in, you cannot guarantee he's getting the ball.
Yeah, look, before we get to the Jets, here's who you're starting on the Saints offense. You're starting Taysom Hill because he may throw some of the ugliest passes you've ever seen, and he's still going to finish with 20 plus fantasy points because that's how it is. That's how it is, man. I'm sorry to tell
that's
you.
How it is.
That's what's going to happen today. He's going to throw at least 3 picks and is still going to finish with 20 plus fantasy points. I'm telling you, that's happening today.
With a finger injury. And it's like finger injury on his throwing hand. Like, that doesn't matter. He could have his whole hand in a club cast. And he would still throw the same amount of pick.
Yeah.
Throwing doesn't matter. If his legs are fine, it's okay.
Yeah, I feel like you almost like, again, unless you have one of the top QB options or you're in a super flex league, for example, I feel like you're starting Taysom Hill. Obviously, like you mentioned, Alvin Kamara, but I feel like you can't start any of the wide receivers. Like,
no.
Deontay Harris has been suspended, but Marquez Callaway, Tre'Quan Smith, Humphrey, no. Vinette, you're not starting any of
None.
These guys. And then when it comes to the Jets, we talked about it off the top, but I mean, like Ty Johnson, I guess you could flex with all the other injuries and so on. Corey Davis done. Like Jimmy's
Coleman's out.
Coleman, yeah, like I don't know, man. Like I feel like it's Ty Johnson, and I know your Berrios play might be the play for you, but I think apart from those two guys, like you want to avoid the Jets offense at all costs today.
The tight end's not that you go on it anyway, but Ryan Griffin questionable. Backing up him is Kenny Yibau, and Daniel Brown.
Okay,
so you got Zach Wilson in. Crazy as it sounds, boy, I'd rather Joe Flacco. clamoring for Super Bowl champion Joe Flacco. Elijah Moore on the injured reserve. Could be a nice PPR day for Jamison Crowder, actually. Just volume-based show. You know, DraftKings play, maybe as a flex, cheaper buy.
Sure.
If he's in there, I don't mind that. Keelan Cole, I don't like. Denzel Mims, like, is Zach Wilson getting Mims the ball? Again, a guy who's not his fault. Berrios, slot guy, 5'9", who can also stretch the field potentially. He got some nice points on the return game, too. He had like 129 return yards the other week as well, depending if your fantasy league counts those. But, like, Braxton Berrios show, I'm telling you, what does Zach Wilson? You want those safe passes. It could be a day of either, you know, Crowder, Berrios, or maybe Ty Johnson. Like, I think there's a real path to Berrios being a really good value play.
It's definitely not impossible. Like, we joke, but it's not impossible, right? But
he's done it before.
He has flashed a little bit. I think the Saints just annihilate the Jets today.
Like, I agree.
I think this is going to be one of those, like, I don't bet all that much on the early games. I like to bet more on some of the later games just because there are less games to follow, and I'm usually less busy in the, like, come the later afternoon games and the Sunday nighter and so on. But I did decide to put a hefty bet on the Saints money line, and I combined it. I parlayed that Saints money line with Taysom Hill over 44 and a half rush yards. So if both of those things happen, ooh, your boy's gonna be buying some pizza next week, Andy. Let's put it that way.
Jeez. Wait, the line is 44 and a half yards rushing for Hill?
Yeah, it was if you combine those into one bet, it was like a plus 100 or plus 150 or something like that.
Oh,
so
man.
That's great.
I'd smash that too.
Yeah.
Jeez, you put it at like 70 rushing yards, I'd still take the over.
You're right.
Man. So Jets Saints, yeah, that's not great. But at the top of the hour, after the break, we will be answering your fantasy football questions for week 14. People's text line, get your questions in, name and location, 590-590. Twitter, at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, at The Fantasy Show. We'll try to help you win this week, get you into the playoffs, get that seeding, or ruin your league mate's day, which can be just as satisfying. And we'll go through the rest of the start sets for every single game in this week 14 slate. This is The Fantasy Show. You're listening across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Show Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hour two of The Fantasy Show kicks off right now. Canada-wide across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Who's ready for some football? You ready, Show? Fantasy football.
We're good.
You're like, either way. No, we're ready, folks.
Okay.
Playoff time, getting ready for your fantasy football league. Last week of the regular season. Do you need help to squeeze into the playoffs? Do you need assistance to get that higher seeding? Or do you just want to be that SOB and ruin your league mates' time? Either way, we want to help you. You can get those questions in right now on the People's text line 590-590, name and location, please. Also on Twitter, you can get us at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, and at The Fantasy Show. So show, let's see what we got.
And now, your fantasy questions on the People's text line.
All righty, 590-590. Name and location, and like we do every week, I just feel like it's important to remember that if we don't answer your question on the air, Andy and I will answer all of your text questions before kickoff starts, so get all those questions in, pardon me, and then we will answer them at some point before the game start later this afternoon. I just want to read this one, actually, before we start, Andy. This one's from Anthony in Hamilton. My biggest pet peeve is seeing Steelers gear at Hamilton Ticats games.
Ooh.
Anthony in Hamilton, go Cats.
Amen.
Great cup,
Anthony,
later today. Great cup, Andy, later today.
Great cup, absolutely. And Anthony, I get it, because when I called the Ticats games, ooh, that stuck with me. I'm like, I never felt right. Never felt right seeing that Steelers gear in there. I'm with you, Anthony. I'm with you.
Yeah,
did he have
true.
A question, or was it just a comment?
No, he just wanted the Festivus, right? The airing of grievances for Anthony.
I'm with you. I'm with you, Anthony. Go Ticats. Let's go. Bring that thing home.
Yeah, Grey Cup later today. That's I think that goes at 6 p.m., I think, against the Blue Bombers. But let's get to these questions here. For fantasy football in the NFL, Eddie from Angus, last week of the regular season today, boys, two questions. PPR, flex. First of all, we'll have the defense first. He's a defense question, Andy. We don't get too many of these, but Packers or Titans? Do you want to start the Green Bay Packers defense against, I believe, the Chicago Bears, or the Titans against the Jags?
Now, I was facing this exact dilemma because I have the Bills defense and I did not want to play them against Tampa Bay. So I was originally leaning the Titans, but like we went over in their game, they're missing four starters, including corners, like a bit of each thing, like key pieces. Up front, you're missing two linebackers, you're missing a nose tackle, you're missing a starting corner. So I'm going to shy away from that. I like the Packers, and that's the route I personally went against the Bears. So we're going to get Justin Fields in. It's in Lambeau. Fields with a couple weeks off, and he's really only had that one really good fantasy week. I think you go Packers, and they're favored by 11.5. I think they shut the Bears down.
Yeah, I think so too, right? I know there are probably some good fantasy plays like individually in there, but all things considered, you know, you can probably bet that the Packers are going to win because they have been one of the best teams in the NFL all season, right? And then Eddie's other question was Javonte Williams or Chuba Hubbard? And that's, again, a full PPR, and this is for a flex play.
Ooh, now, I love Chuba, and he's going to start. With Christian McCaffrey out, you still have the. We won't find out until today how that Amir Abdullah specter that's sort of floating around there show that's like, ooh, how's he going to be used? The thing is, like we talked about, the Denver Broncos are playing the Detroit Lions, who are struggling to actually fill out a legal roster because of COVID and injury. I think you go with Javonte Williams, and they just might just run the ball all day long. I think Williams is the play.
And I think, too, just remember, Mike Boone, who is one of the backups for Denver, he was placed on the COVID list on Friday, so he will not play. And so, of course, you're asking, like, Javonte Williams or Melvin Gordon, because that's always the conundrum. So Gordon has the hip stinger. He didn't play last week. Is questionable to play today. But even if he does play, man, hip injuries for running backs, that's really tricky, right? So I think you're probably right. I'll go Javonte Williams as well. Let's get to this next one. John in Toronto, one for the flex, PPR, full points. Okay, full point PPR. You're picking from these three players, right, Andy? So you're picking between Ricky Seals-Jones, Nick Westbrook-Ekine, or Dontrell Hilliard.
Ooh, I'm going Ricky, man. And again, listen, I'll bring it back. Whenever I use a player specifically for my own fantasy leagues, I will tell you, folks, in my reasoning to it. I went Ricky Seals-Jones. Now, the reason for me was I have TJ Hockenson, who's doubtful, and good Lord, I'm not playing him today no matter what with that Lions situation.
No.
So I went Ricky Seals-Jones. He had, I believe he had a hip injury too, or there was some lower body. He's healed up from it. He has had Logan Thomas gone in spot starts over his career the last couple of years. The guy has been able to find the end zone. Like, he's actually been able to be, when given the chance, a good nose for the end zone to score. He's athletic enough. He's a big body guy who can move the chains for PPR. And for Washington, it's a case where they like to use the tight ends, and Taylor Heinicke can be a little unpredictable. But Ricky Seals-Jones, I'm not saying he's going to be blowing the roof off of it, but out of that group, I like him better, certainly, than the, who was it, Westbrook-Ekine?
Yeah, Westbrook-Ekine or Dontrell Hilliard.
And we went over with the Hilliard and McNichols. They're going to be splitting this. They have the same job. So you're going to be splitting the job between two guys, or you got Dante Foreman, who's a standalone. So I think Ricky Seals-Jones for sure.
All right, there you go. Let's keep rolling along in these questions. Tony from Hamilton, another Dontrell Hilliard question. Tony wants to know, who would you start, Hilliard or Godwin Igwe-Buike? I hope I didn't completely butcher his name. But Igwe-Buike, I believe is how you pronounce his last name. But anyways, the Detroit Lions running back is, of course, both Swift and Jamal Williams are out today.
I wouldn't touch any line today, folks. We don't even know if they're going to be able to play. The game might get moved to Monday. Who else gets targeted or hit with it? No, you want to stay away from the Lions. I told you why not to play Hilliard, but between the two, at least Hilliard's going to be in the game.
Yeah, right? That's true.
So I think you go Hilliard.
And then he also wanted to know, who would you? He's not playing Tony Pollard, so who would you pick from the waiver wire? Amir Abdullah, Alex Collins, or Jamichael Hasty?
Oh man,
that's pretty tough. Yeah. That's tough picking. Slim pickings there.
First of all, look to see if Deonta Foreman is available instead for the Titans, folks. Like he's still rostered in he's owned about 58% of Yahoo League, so he might still be out there. I'd rather him over any of those plays, because then if you get to San Francisco, you have Wilson Jr. Could Hasty go in? He's gotten some goal line work before. Like out of that specific group, I'd say Hasty, but. Like, unless he gets a touchdown, you're probably going to get, like, 3 fantasy points. So.
Yeah. Well, probably, it's probably the case for, I would say, most of these guys, right? Like,
yeah.
Hasty, like, Amir Abdullah, I would say he's my least favorite of the pick. But Alex Collins, I mean, I guess.
You can't trust that running back committee, man. That's a disaster. With Peterson there, that's a disaster.
I apologize, Tony, because that is some real slim pickings. I guess of those three, like if you had no other option, I'd guess I'd go Collins. But like you said, maybe like you would hope there are better options available on the waiver wire. Another question here. No name on this one, but full point PPR. This person says, got some big bye week and injury troubles this week, fighting for my playoff life. So here are his picks. Here are his two choices. Okay, full point PPR. Godwin, and again, hope I don't mispronounce his name, Igwe-Buike, Godwin Igwe-Buike, or Jamichael Hasty, Andy.
Gotta go Hasty. Yeah, folks, no Lions. No Lions today. Like, don't do it. There's too much COVID, there's too much injuries, there's too much unknown. No Lions. And so if ever we get a Lion question, it's the other guy.
All right, so you're going with Hasty.
I'll go with Hasty. Like, again, I don't love it. I would look for Foreman on the waiver wire. He's in a lot of leagues available still. I would look for Dante Foreman as a better overall play, but out of those two, you got to go with Hasty. I don't trust the Lions today.
So you can be Hasty today. You know, we usually say don't be Hasty. You can be Hasty today.
You can be Hasty. So yeah, if there's any questions that say Lions, don't go with the Lions.
All right, fair enough. I will reply to all the questions on Lions with stop it. Get some help.
Stop it. Michael Jordan gift. All right. What's the next one?
Scott from the Hammer. This is pretty cool. He says he started 0-7 and now he's 5-8 with a win and he is in the playoffs, Andy. So he needs a flex. Yeah, good for you, Scott, for sticking with it. Absolutely.
That's why I listen to the fantasy show.
So I want you to text in next week, and we'll see if you made the playoffs, because that's really cool. If you started 0-7 and make the playoffs, good for you. He says, I need a flex. Full PPR, and these are, I admit, this is not an easy decision. Jerry Jeudy, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, or Chuba Hubbard?
In theory, I like Jeudy because of the volume. But look, the fantasy point production has just not been there.
It hasn't, yeah.
It just hasn't. Now, again, against the Lions, could that be a good one? Yes, I'm just getting the vibe of more of a running attack and just grind it out in that one. So I think you go Chuba Hubbard. Like we said, Amir Abdullah could come in and there could be something weird and they fired their offensive coordinator and who knows. But Chuba Hubbard as an RB2 has shown this year he can be good. He can be good to potentially very good. But I think Chuba Hubbard, based on what should be a more reliable workload, you go with him.
I think I'll go Hubbard in the end as well. He's a great, I think, volume-based play. But at the same time, like, I think, as we saw last year with the New England Patriots, when Cam Newton is the quarterback, like, I mean, he's probably going to just run the ball a lot, right? Like, he's going to run it, and he's going to run it again, and then he's going to run it some more. So I think that does, like, I think it caps the ceiling for someone like Chuba Hubbard. But at the same time, they're also playing the abysmal Atlanta Falcons defense. So, I mean, maybe that kind of balances out a little bit. If he doesn't want to go Hubbard, I don't mind the MVS play, because Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Andy, has somehow gotten, like, just an insane amount of targets as of late. Like, it's crazy the amount of targets he gets. And I know it's kind of capped because he's the deep shot artist for Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers out there. But the Bears defense, not as good as it had been at the beginning of the season. A lot of key injuries. They've just been struggling, generally speaking, and it doesn't help when your offense can't stay on the field very long, right? So I don't mind the MVS play. I'm going to be getting him into one of my lineups today. But at the same time, if you can't stomach that, Hubbard is, I think, probably the safest play. Let's put it that way.
So, Hubbard definitely the safest. Yeah, you get the home run ball, but you also might not.
Yeah. I think I'll say this, and we'll talk about this a little later, but I think in week 14, when the regular season is wrapping up, I think what you want, sometimes you might need upside. You know what I mean? Like, you might need, like, depending on who you're playing or if you have bye week troubles or injuries, like a lot of our pals here on the text line do, I think you want, like, high upside plays, which of course means that they have low floors, unfortunately.
Right. Exactly. All right, let's do a few more.
Okay, let's do a couple more. I see one here from Ben in Thornhill. I mentioned that before. He says, good morning, boys. Good morning, Ben. He says, PPR league, Amari Cooper or T. Higgins? Now, it's important to remember, I think earlier this morning, Andy, Adam Schefter tweeted out that the 49ers will be without both of their top two cover cornerbacks. So this could be a good day for T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. But, I mean, you also have to remember Joe Burrow had a nasty-looking pinky finger after that game last weekend. Ooh.
Yeah, he sure did. And T. Higgins is also questionable. Now, this is updated less than an hour ago. Ankle injury, but is expected to play versus the 49ers. So how does that work in? T. Higgins, more so than Ja'Marr Chase the last couple weeks, has been a real go-to.
Yes.
So, I would say the ankle injury gives me pause, and the finger for Burrow, certainly. I like your comment from the previous question, Joe. Depends what you need risk-wise. If you're like, man, you know what? I got to roll the dice and hope that Higgins has a big day to have a chance rather than a safer, like, 14, 15-point floor for an Amari Cooper, then go Higgins. Safer play, definitely Cooper. Apparently, he's totally recovered from COVID, feeling good, feeling all right. And when that's the case, you don't have there's no more solid of a WR2 than Amari Cooper week in and week out.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I mean, like, the ceiling again for Amari Cooper is, of course, like a WR1, but just CeeDee Lamb is back, Cooper is back, Dalton Schultz is in there, right? It's just like the entire offense from the skill position player side of things, they're all there. So it's like harder to forecast. I think I might go Higgins, but like you said, it's definitely the riskier play. You want to do one more?
Yeah, let's do another one. Yeah.
All right, like this, we'll go with this one to wrap up here. Tom from Barry. So Tom, first of all, says, Wayne Gretzky's Pro Stars was my favorite cereal as a kid. So there you go.
Oh, wow. that's terrible cartoon, but good cereal.
Throwback.
Terrible cartoon.
Yeah.
Not
great. I do like that cereal, I will admit. He does. His question, though, is, would you start Joe Burrow over Lamar Jackson this week in a 1 QB but a 6-point passing TD league?
Oh, wow. Love that question. You know what? Yeah. I would. Burrow had that weird week last week. He had a couple of interceptions at the finger and all that. Against San Francisco, you bring up the good point of the two corners missing. The higher touchdown value is coming from Joe Burrow. 23 passing touchdowns on the year. Does that hand affect it? Yeah, it could. But this is a pass-heavy offense where the Ravens is a run-heavy offense. So just based on that alone, as long as Burrow can sling it, even to like 90% of what he's used to, I think you go Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow struggled last week, Andy, against the Chargers. I mean, like, it was a terrible start. There was that ridiculous, amazing throw by him to Ja'Marr Chase that probably should have been like an 80-yard touchdown, and it ended up as like an interception, I think. The one that, like, went right backwards out of Chase's hands.
Oh,
you remember that?
Yeah.
And I think He ended up with two picks on the day, but he still almost finished with 20 fantasy points despite the bad finger, right? So I think I'll probably go Burrow as well. But yeah, that's a fantastic question. So thank you for texting that in, Tom from Barry. That'll do it for our fantasy questions here on the Fantasy Show. But don't worry, if we didn't answer your questions at 590-590, we will get to them, all of them, before kickoff goes later this afternoon. So you can still text us at 590-590 if you have some lingering questions between now and kickoff, and we will answer every single one of them.
There you go. All right, let's get to back to our fantasy football start sits for each and every game. We're at the Dallas Cowboys versus the Washington football team. And show, Mike McCarthy has made the dreaded guaranteed win comment. Now, Mike McCarthy, boy, how things were looking last year, surprised he even made it to this season. Cowboys in first place, but they've been struggling. Washington's been rolling, and Ron Rivera, not happy. He's been like talking to his team and saying, he straight up said that it was not smart, Mike McCarthy making the game more about him than his players. So a little coach jostling as well when it comes to that game. Very interesting matchup, Joe. I think when you look at it, like, they've won, what, four in a row? Like, Taylor Heinicke is making a case for himself to get into, I think, two QB leagues for sure. The guy's a gunslinger. He's fearless. Last 2 weeks, the fantasy points haven't been there, but the guy's gonna fire it up. I think you feel good about that. Certainly Dak Prescott over him. Running back wise, McKissick not expected to play with a concussion. Antonio Gibson all day. Mm-hmm. You go there. Terry McLaurin, of course. And like we said earlier, Ricky Seals-Jones, I think for a real streaming tight end, very cheap. I think he was only $3,100 on DraftKings earlier in the week. You can go with Ricky Seals-Jones as well. But I think, again, when it comes to Washington, usual suspects.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't think you, I mean, or I should start by saying, don't forget that Logan Thomas is done for the year, because he remember he was on the injured reserve, like the injured reserve return list, right? He was the short term injured reserve. He came back. Mm-hmm. He suffered another injury. So once you go on injured reserve for a second time, you are not allowed to return. So he is done for the year. So Ricky Seals-Jones, like, if you're hurting at tight end, he's probably like pretty readily available, I would imagine. But at the same time, yeah, I think that's like a nice streaming play. Like you said, Heinicke, Gibson, McLaurin, all startable this week. Heinicke, mostly because of his legs, I would say, right? He is he has a lot of value because of his legs. So that's a good play. And yeah, the usual suspects, Ezekiel Elliott, CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, Dalton Schultz, and Dak Prescott. I don't know. Michael Gallup, I guess you could flex him, I suppose. But at the same time, I think now that everyone on the offense is back, I think maybe he gets downgraded to like a flex play at best, I would imagine.
Starting to be too many mouths. Michael Gallup has proven when somebody's out, you can play that guy.
Yeah,
last
absolutely.
2 weeks, last 2 weeks he's gotten 15, 16 fantasy points each of the last 2 weeks on touch. Like, he can ball out, but when you got the names you said, Cooper, Lamb, Elliott, Schultz, like, where does it come in? Like, where did all those target goes? It's not going to go to Michael Gallup, who's going to be the third, fourth guy. So that's where you look at who's going to be that first and second look. And then you kind of go backwards from there. So I'm with you exactly on everything you said there. Let's see. Who do we got next? Falcons and Panthers. This is where those Chuba Hubbard questions come in.
Yeah.
Cam Newton back in the lineup. Chuba, you're going to play. But, Joe, I liked what you said. Like, all right, Cam's going to be use his strengths at this point in his career, and that is certainly his leg and not throwing the football. I don't think he'd touch a Panthers receiver. I think it's just Cam and Chuba.
Yeah, I think DJ Moore, unfortunately, is the only pass catcher you can even feasibly start, and I'm sure because of buys and injuries, most people are starting DJ Moore, but I think like you have to essentially operate under the assumption that you'll get like 8 to 10 points at a maximum, and like you hope for more if that's possible. But generally speaking, I mean, he's like a WR2 at best because of Cam Newton being the quarterback there. Cam himself, I know people are worried because like he got pulled last week, he got benched for our guy PJ Walker, but unfortunately, okay, I just think that it was a unique circumstance last week, and there wasn't any use in keeping him out there. But against, like, again, the terrible, just terrible Atlanta Falcons defense, I think you probably put him out there. And again, this goes back to the question of upside we were talking about, Andy. If you feel like you can get upside, then I think you can feel good about starting Cam Newton, like if you feel comfortable that he's not going to just stink it up and be benched again, he'll probably
Which
return.
He could.
It's absolutely possible. It's just over four quarters. If he is just on the field through rushing output alone, he's probably going to return you QB1 numbers. Is what I mean, right?
Yeah. So
that's kind of where I fall on that.
Well, especially too when they're coming off of like a bye. You know what I mean? Like it's like okay, he's rested. You know, and when he's rested and comes in, that first look, he's really good. It's when you get into those, like, games after that where it's a bit of a problem. So you look at Atlanta, my guy, Russell Gage, he was in my 2 weeks in a row show. He was in my waiver wire articles list on sportsnet.ca every Tuesday. Russell Gage has been really good with Calvin Ridley not being available. Like, it's just he's not there, and people are focusing. Defenses are focusing on Kyle Pitts, taking him away. And trying to focus in on Cordarrelle Patterson. Last 2 weeks show, here's the target share, okay? 12 against Tampa Bay, 7 against Jacksonville, 8 against New England. Last week, 11 catches. The week before, a touchdown. I think you can put Russell Gage in as a WR3 or flex with high WR2 upside. And, of course, my man Cordarrelle Patterson, who's a fantasy MVP. I just can't get enough of him.
Well, it's funny, right? Because last week, Mike Davis actually is the one who scored the touchdown. Like on his one carry, like the one carry in the red zone, he took it for a touchdown. And I actually did start Cordarrelle Patterson in one league, and I was like, damn you, Mike Davis. Damn you for vulturing that from Patterson. Thanks a lot.
Still got double digits.
It's true. And that's where the value is, right? It's because he can still carry that with even guys, other guys scoring touchdowns. So obviously you're starting Cordarrelle Patterson. Russell Gage and Kyle Pitts are the other two pass catchers. You're not really starting Sharp or Zacchaeus.
No.
Matt Ryan, I mean, you know what? Just try not to if you can. I really don't think he is washed necessarily. I just think they have such an abysmal offensive line that it's just the best case for him is to hand the ball off, which just means that you're not getting a lot of fantasy value from him. So just keep him on the bench for now.
Yeah. All right. Let's do a quick one here before we break. Seahawks versus Texans. The Russell Wilson trade rumors have lit up again out of Seattle. Who knows if he's going to be there next year or not.
Steelers QB next year, Andy? Maybe? Russell Wilson?
Oh, no. Don't put that out in the universe show. No. No. You stay in Seattle, Russell. Go somewhere.
Andy, can you imagine Russell Wilson with that Steelers offense? Ooh.
No. Ooh, no, Andy. I don't want it. No. I don't want that. I don't want that at all.
I don't want many Seahawks.
Like, who are you playing? Which stinks. I love DK Metcalf. I love him. Like, he's my guy. But, like, if I have DK, am I going to have to play him against Houston? Houston's also a very bad football team. Yeah. So I'm going to play him. I don't love it. Lockett, I'm not really interested in. I don't want the tight ends. The running back situation we talked about before is just a calamity. Collins, my guy DJ Dallas. Peterson's floating around. That is a full-blown committee. If you start a Seahawks running back, you are guessing. It is a pure guess. I hate guessing when it comes to fantasy football. So, if you want to, fine, but you are guessing. And that's really where it comes down to. That's it.
Yeah, it's just Rashad Penny, Alex Collins.
You're guessing.
Dallas,
too many.
AP, yeah. Just stay away from that quagmire, fantasy quagmire, if you can at all. I think you have to start Tyler Lockett, right? Like, I think you kind of have to. And I think, Metcalf too. Like, I think they're both, unfortunately, like WR3s at this point. Maybe Metcalf is a WR3 with like a WR2 upside, WR1 upside, obviously, because of how talented he is. And same goes for Lockett. But it's just so unpredictable as to what the hell is happening with the Seattle passing game. It's just a mess in Seattle right now. So again, if you can stay away, I would recommend it. But again, based on where you probably drafted Metcalf and Lockett, probably not a lot of other options for you. So they're in your starting lineup this week. And on the Texans, Davis Mills is now the official starting quarterback. So Tyrod Taylor, our pal, is once again benched, Andy, for another starter, as Davis Mills will be the starter going forward. Good God. I think you can't really start anyone as usual outside of Brandon Cooks on this offense. You're not starting Rex Burkhead at this point. You're not starting, I don't know, Chris Conley or Nico Collins. And Mills himself, you're not starting either. It's just you're not doing it.
Well, Tyrod Taylor produced 0 points last week in a shutout to Indianapolis.
Yeah, brutal.
There's really no... What are you going to do, right? And people are like, reportedly, listen to this. Reportedly unhappy with Cully's decision, Taylor will head back to the bench. You put 0 points up, man. Sorry. What's your argument? Hey, coach, put me back in. Tyrod, you got 0 points. Ah, this is ridiculous. Really? You got 0 points.
Yeah.
What do you want? Yeah, you're not playing. It's Cooks, who's questionable, by the way. Cooks is questionable.
That's the thing.
What a mess. Eek. Okay. We're going to take the break. We'll come back. We'll run through the rest of the remaining games. Fantasy football starts, as well as our Danger Zone picks when the Fantasy Show continues Canada-wide across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. This is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Shaw Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Back to The Fantasy Show. Good morning, Canada. Across the Sportsnet Radio Network, Andy McNamara with Shaw Ali. Get us on Twitter. Fantasy football questions, we'll answer them there at AndyMC81, at SNSLD, at The Fantasy Show. People's text line 2-590-590. Danger Zone picks coming up, as well as the rest of our fantasy football start sits for the Week 14 slate in the NFL. Lions-Broncos show. We've talked about this game a lot already.
Yeah.
Like we said, Lions are riddled with COVID and injuries. The game might get moved to Monday, maybe not. I think no Lions. Broncos, Javonte Williams, Noah Fant, possibly. And Jerry Jeudy volume based, but the fantasy points haven't been there for Jeudy despite the volume. So I would try. I have Jeudy on one of my teams. I'm going to leave him benched. Could he go off? Yeah, but like the volume's there, but the fantasy points just haven't been. So I'm fading on Jeudy personally.
Yeah, I think I do like the Noah Fant. That was a play I mentioned off the top, right? I like the Noah Fant play as maybe the best pass catcher today out of Denver. But I like you said earlier, Andy, I really do think that the Javonte Williams start is going to be one of the hottest starts this week, just because Melvin Gordon still with the hip stinger, Mike Boone on the COVID IL list. So, I mean, you were starting Javonte Williams anyways. I don't think that's like a particularly, that's not breaking news or anything like that. But I think even if Gordon does play, you're still starting Javonte Williams. And I would sit Teddy Bridgewater. He hasn't been super inspiring fantasy-wise as of late. And like you said, we talked about the Lions. Sit all of them. Sit every last single one of them. Don't start any of them. I guess I'll say this. If you are like in a 16 or 18 or 20 team league and you need to start like Amon-Ra St. Brown, I guess, right? Because he works out of the slot and we'll probably see most of the little dump off passes. But good God, just stay away from the Lions today.
Yeah, exactly. And then when you, that's it, Joe. You just got to stay away. There's too many variables. All right, let's move on to the next game. We got the Giants versus the Chargers. And for the Giants, oh, man, Daniel Jones out, Mike Glennon at QB. And all the – like, Joe, I wouldn't want to start any Giants wide receivers normally. Mm-hmm. And now they're all injured too. Kenny Golladay, questionable. Sterling Shepard, always questionable. Kadarius Toney, out. You want Darius Slayton in your life? I don't. Saquon Barkley's injury designation for his ankle was removed Friday.
Evan Engram, your guy, Andy?
Ingram,
your guy? Evan your Engram. Favorite Evan. Tight end?
Oh, what a dip. I'm so salty towards Engram from last year. Oh, yeah. Man. No. No. Saquon Barkley as an RB2, and that's about it.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where I'm at.
Who's
again,
playing?
And again, like, I know the Chargers have been, they've struggled a little bit to opposing running backs, right? They've given up the second most yardage and TDs. So this might be like his best opportunity down the stretch for Barkley. So I think you should probably, if there was ever a time to start him, it's this week because they're
you
probably
play
just
gonna, him.
Yeah. But I on the opposite side of things, because he is the only viable weapon, I would expect the Chargers to just throw the house at Saquon Barkley and dare Mike Glennon or Jacob Fromm, if that's who's the guy who's going to start. Like, I would guess they're not too afraid of those guys.
No. You stack the box for the Chargers. They should win this one running away. Justin Herbert, of course. Austin Eckler, yes. Keenan Allen out. Make sure you note that. Mike Williams, who is iffy and maybe a close contact, he will play, so he's good. Canada Zone from the GTA Brampton area, I believe. Josh Palmer. Could be seeing some action. Jalen Guyton doesn't excite me too much. Maybe an uptick for Jared Cook in targets today, Show. Right. That might be an interesting play at tight end.
Yeah, I don't mind that one. Jared Cook, I don't think he is bad or washed. It's just that, like, the way this offense operates, Justin Herbert just loves to take shots down the field, and the guy down the field getting those shots is like one of the wide receivers, right? It's like Jalen Guyton, yeah. or it's Williams or Allen on any given week. So it's not going to be Allen this week, obviously, right? And was Mike Williams, was he a game time decision, or did they say that he's going to play? I think he is going to play.
He is
right?
going to play.
Okay,
he is going to play. It was right. earlier in the week where he was a little bit iffy with the. Like from the COVID-19
COVID
list.
Stuff. Yeah. Okay.
So he's back. Allen out, but he will be. Yeah, he is in there. So I would expect a pretty heavy workload for Williams, and I just don't think the Giants have the horses to do anything about it.
No, they really don't. I don't mind in that case. I don't mind the Jalen Guyton play, but I mean, you don't want to rely on it.
I kind of want to. Like, there's nothing really for me to point to it, but in a DraftKings contest, I'm going to put Joshua Palmer in.
Sure.
Why not? Maybe it's the feel good. Maybe he's like, can be a more classy version of that embarrassment Chase Claypool from north of the border. Give me Josh Palmer. Give me a little Josh Palmer in
there. I like it. Yeah. Why not? Right.
Why not? Yeah. I'm not saying put him in your, push to the playoff league, but
no.
as a cheap DraftKings play, I'm going to put him in one.
There you go.
Let's go. Come on, Josh. Do the GTA proud. Not like Claypool. Get out of here. 49ers.
He's not from the GTA, at least. He's from, like, out
he's
west.
Not.
So, there you go.
He's out west. Get out of here. Yeah. We love you out west, but Chase Claypool, no. Yeah. Come on. 49ers versus Bengals. Notable show. You said two starting corners from the 49ers are out. That means even Joe Burrow with that off-putting finger look. Ugh.
Oh yeah, that was gross. Like it was like a swollen as heck finger. Like it was gross, honestly.
Yeah, it really was. Interesting how the distribution of the football has been going around. Jamar Chase first half of the season was phenomenal. The go-to the whole time. Ever since the Browns game where they just shut him down, got in his head, maybe mentally broke Jamar Chase show. Maybe broke him. I don't know. Perhaps. It's been T. Higgins. That's what sort of we were waiting for. Like, T. Higgins has been an absolute stud, especially the last 2-3 weeks. And I think I would put him right now over Jamar Chase in the pecking order. You want to play him, right? You want to get that in there. But, yeah, I think it's T. Higgins first, then Jamar Chase, and then Tyler Boyd after.
Is Joe Mixon, was he injured but is expected to play today? Well, I think he's still a little banged up, and I think that might just be like attrition setting in from like the end of the year, you know what I mean? But
technically
that's
questionable.
Yeah, but I think he is going to play, and I think you kind of have to start him because he has been just a monster this season. But
he's been sick apparently, show non-COVID illness. Okay. So you're right though with generally being banged up, but it seems like it's the illness. So as long as he's feeling good enough, maybe has an extra glass of orange juice or something and feeling good, I think you can play him against San Francisco
a shot of B12 or something before he steps on the field.
Whatever legal substance you can put in him.
I mean, you're starting the usual suspects today. And yeah, I think with the finger injury all week, I think with Burrow, he had been throwing the ball pretty well. Like he hadn't had any tape on his finger. He hadn't been wearing a glove in practice from everything I had seen. So I think Joe Burrow, you're starting him. And then from the 49ers, you know what? I mean, like no Elijah Mitchell, no Trey Sermon. So we got a lot of hasty questions. Jeff Wilson Jr., I'm sure, will eat into that workload a little bit. But, I mean, Deebo Samuel, if he plays, you can be sure that Deebo Samuel is going to get some rushes as well because he had a couple times. So I think the most attractive plays in this game to me are the Samuel, Ayuk, and, of course, George Kittle starts. And everyone else kind of takes a back. Like, you can still start Hasty or Jeff Wilson and maybe even Jimmy G, but those guys take a back seat for me.
Yeah, and the Samuel play, you're going to have to track this going up to
that too.
To kick off. Yeah, yeah, it's a 4:25 start, so it's a later game. Like, I have I got Deebo on one of my teams, and I'm trying to debate because, when he's in, my goodness, he's an absolute rock star. But there's also talk, maybe he'll be on a pitch count. Maybe they'll try to. So I'm a little nervous as to what to do with him. Track it. See if you can get that vibe. You might not have a better choice, but I think, again, it's going to be an Ayuk and Kittle day.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, I think that those are the plays, and they were always going to be guys you started, right? It's just I don't think you want to risk your week 14 push to the playoffs like we've been saying on like guys who are. I mean, certainly if Samuel plays, you have to play him because he's amazing. But other than that, maybe like avoid those if you can. When it comes to the rest of the 49ers.
Yeah, I think you definitely do that. All right, let's move on to Buffalo Bills at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and their old nemesis, Tom Brady. Bills have been exchanging wins and losses since their bye week, right? It's been kind of weird. You had that awful, strange loss to Jacksonville back in early November, 9-6. Then you come back and you smash the Jets. Okay, then you lose to the Colts where Jonathan Taylor went off for whatever that was, that 4 or 5 touchdown day. Then you spank New Orleans 31-6. The defense is back. Then New England defeats you 14-10 in that windstorm last week. And now you go to Tampa Bay. Weather should be good, show, but against that Buccaneers team and always Brady, sort of that old nemesis, this will be an interesting one.
Yeah, I think Bills fans are not looking forward to the prospect, the potential prospect of losing to the Patriots in 1 week and then losing to Tom Brady the very next week. That would just, ooh. As delicious as that idea is for me, I don't think very many Bills fans would take that one. When it comes to the Bills, though, I think you're starting Dawson Knox and Stephon Diggs no matter what. It's certainly Josh Allen as well, but Dawson Knox, I mean, if Adrian Phillips hadn't punched out a couple passes out of his hands on a windswept night in Buffalo, he would be, I think, like he would have been one of the best tight ends of the week, I think, right? And so regardless, he gets a ton of passes. He had a pretty bad drop too, but I think all things considered, you can still start Dawson Knox probably going forward, especially against a banged up Buccaneers secondary. I know Richard Sherman has been reactivated off of injured reserve, but at the same time, you know, the Bucs secondary,
what does he have left?
Still, yes, it's still like not great, right? So I think you start those two guys and you feel good about it. I'm passing on Cole Beasley and Emmanuel Sanders, and certainly Zach Moss, Mac Breda, Devin Singletary. I'm out on every single last one of those guys.
Yes. Oh, man. No Bills running backs.
Yeah,
people.
No.
Don't do it.
They're drafting a running back next year, Andy. They're for sure drafting a running back next year.
I don't even know why. Don't. Like, you got three guys who you don't use. So what? You drafted Singletary 1 year. You drafted Moss the next. Like, okay. You brought in Brady. Like, it's not a, unless you revamp the thinking of that offense, which I think they should incorporate more actual runners. Like, I don't think Singletary or Moss are bad running backs. If you went on a more run heavy team, I think they're serviceable, but why spend the capital?
Yeah, it's true.
You know what?
They're
not going to run it.
Maybe the solution there is like fire Brian Daboll and then just bring in another offensive coordinator who's going to get Josh Allen out in space running and more running backs involved. I just my only reason for saying that is that if the Bills had a viable run game, it would make life easier on Josh Allen. It would make his life easier. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and the guy's trying to do it all himself. Like, if he had an even kind of okay run game, the Bills offense would they're not that far off from last season, funnily enough. It's just it comes so much in spurts now that it seems like it's a little more broken, but boy, they just need a little more balanced offense, it seems.
And I still think you can. Like, I blame the play calling. Like, you can call more run plays.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's in their power. You can send in the play, say hand it off. You can do that. They just don't.
Yeah, they're allowed to. They are allowed to.
You are allowed to. You just don't. Now, and also, that's why the Bills defense, which has been, for the most part, like absolutely wrecking ball terrific when it comes to fantasy football, like top all along. I went out and I had them in both of my leagues, and I said, no, I got to go in a different direction. I went Green Bay in one, Seattle in another, based on the defenses that were available on my waiver wire. I don't want to go up against Tom Brady, right?
Yeah.
Especially if you need, like, this is reeking of like a 2-3 fantasy point day for the Buffalo Bills defense. And when you look at that Buccaneers team, obviously Tom Brady, Leonard Fournette has turned into the undisputed RB1 on that team. No Antonio Brown still. Mm-hmm. So Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, I think you're obviously playing. Let me get your thought on this one, Sho. And I'm not saying you play him this week because I want to see it. But 2019, Breshad Perriman, who's back on the club, different quarterback then, but Perriman was a late year addition as that third wideout option who balled out and won people fantasy championships.
It's true.
He won me one.
Yeah, he was great.
In part, as that late week, that dude started pop. He's back there. Like, I added him as a speculative bench depth play just in case, who I can drop if he does nothing. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I'm just going back. Like, maybe that could be a guy without Antonio Brown. Maybe he works himself in at some point.
Yeah, you know what? It's very possible. I just think that with Gronk as the third, he's not the third guy, but like if you look at the top three passing options with no Antonio Brown, Godwin, Evans, Gronk. I just think it's going to be hard for him to find consistent targets, just like it's been for like basically anyone whose name is not those three guys, right? So,
yeah.
I do agree with you. Like, it's not a bad, if you have the bench space, it's not a bad speculative ad. But I mean, as far as this game goes, you're still starting all the, again, we use this phrase a lot, but you're starting all the usual suspects.
Oh, yeah. Gronk, come on.
Yeah.
You're going him every single week. Two touchdowns last week. The guy, since coming back from injury, targets
like
have been
the Bills,
8-9-8.
The Bills only have allowed the second fewest fantasy points to that position this year, but there's still no way you can really bench Rob Gronkowski.
No. I wouldn't get too caught up in that. You're just going to play the stars. Play the stars. Play the guys who got you here.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the next one. Bears, Packers. Justin Fields back at quarterback. Am I excited about that? No, in Lambeau. That doesn't excite me. But, Joe, we have seen that even though Fields is a super inconsistent rookie, Darnell Mooney has been his guy. That's the guy that you want to have, and it seems like he's been able for the most part. Now, last week was a bit of a stinker for him, but before that, he was a guy that he gets the football one way or another. So I think Darnell Mooney, you start, and also David Montgomery, who was questionable early in the week but looks to be fully healthy now.
Yeah, I think just expect RB2 numbers from Montgomery, right? I mean, there's so many committees around the NFL. It is kind of nice to get someone like Montgomery who just has the entire backfield to himself. Despite the fact that Khalil Herbert is back there, he got 29 touches last week, right? 29. So, I mean, that's like the usage for Montgomery on that Chicago offense is like off the hook, right? So you have to use Montgomery. You have to get him into your starting lineup. But just, I think, expect a smaller, let's say, output from him, just because the Packers' eighth fewest fantasy points / rushing yards to running backs this season. Like you said, Darnell Mooney, I'm on that. Cole Kmet, I don't think is a terrible play, just because he seems to have some decent chemistry with Justin Fields and Andy Dalton.
Jimmy Graham,
just getting his one target a week and catching
a
touchdown.
Jerk.
Like, what? Yeah,
what just, a jerk. Just those are Cole Kmet's touchdowns, Jimmy.
Yeah, right.
Those are Cole's touchdowns.
He's the real fantasy Grinch. Is Jimmy Graham at this point in his career? Right.
It's, get out of here, Jimmy.
Yeah, you're not starting too many Bears. And then Aaron Rodgers, we talked about. I mean, you're starting him. I think you can probably start both Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon, right? I think Jones kind of got eased into the lineup in week 12 because of this MCL sprain, the bye week, and now he's back. He might be getting the ball a little more, but I mean, the Jones Dillon split was something we've been talking about all season. Obviously, you're starting Adams. The MVS start is something we talked about on the questions for the text line earlier. I think the target share exists for MVS, right? 9.5 average over the last two games. And I think he's still a WR3 this week, but if you're in a pinch because of buys and injuries, you could probably start him, but I wouldn't start anyone else.
Yeah, it's touchdown dependent, and you hope for the big play. Don't go with the tight end Josiah DeGuara as a blocker. That's it. Monday Nighter. Rams, Cardinals. Cardinals finally healthy. DeAndre Hopkins back in. Kyler Murray back in. You know, that probably downgrades that my other beloved sort of slot guy, Christian Kirk. But we've seen that he can be serviceable with all those guys in, and sometimes even in the teens and as a WR2 bottom end guy or three. I would just say we get a lot of AJ Green and Christian Kirk question show. I still, for consistency and higher floor, I'll go with Christian Kirk every single time. AJ Green just seems way too sporadic at this point in his career.
And I'll also add to that, we get a lot of Zach Ertz questions sometimes. And I'll just say, again, I think Zach Ertz is incredibly talented. He is going to still be popping off here and there. But at the same time, I think Ertz's points have come when DeAndre Hopkins has not been in the lineup. And Hopkins obviously is playing, so I think you just have to have like tempered expectations for Ertz. You can still start him, I think, but I mean, he has been like the third or fourth read, especially with James Conner still existing, who just can't stop scoring touchdowns, apparently, right? So I think you're obviously starting him, but it's just like kind of insane how many touchdowns James Conner has scored this year.
I know. It's wild, right? And yeah, Edmonds is on the IR, so Conner there, and you go with Murray, of course. For the Rams, Matt Stafford, I think you can still feel comfortable to play. I'm not going to play Odell Beckham Jr. You want to do that? Go for it. I would still go Van Jefferson over him and Cooper Kupp. He's the guy. Higbee really hasn't done much, though, but it's almost like a case where, okay, do you not play him? It still feels like you have to.
Higbee has like the most elite usage of any tight end. He's on the field for like literally every play of every game that the Rams have. It's just the fantasy points aren't there. So at some point you might want to look elsewhere. There are a lot of good streaming options, but yeah, against like the Cardinals defense might be one of the better plays today on Monday night because of how good they've been. So I would avoid the non-obvious starts for the Los Angeles Rams this weekend.
Absolutely. All right, let's finish off with the Danger Zone.
Welcome to the Danger Zone.
Danger Zone.
Danger's my middle name.
Danger Zone!
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
And so are we, Baker Mayfield. Let's go! Danger Zone time to wrap up the fantasy show. And, Joe, I'm going. I got my milk ready. Okay, it's ice cold. I got my honey to put on top. Give me a big bowl of Broxton Berrios with the J-E-T-S. Yes. Elijah Moore's gone. Broxton Berrios. Jamison Crowder. He's a fine start, but that's obvious. No. I want some Berrios. He's been a return machine if you count those fantasy points in your team on kick and punt returns. He's gone. Showed the last 2 weeks, 9-9 fantasy points. Now with more opportunity against the Saints, who have given up the fourth most fantasy points to wide receivers. He's a little zippy guy out of the slot. Broxton Berrios, he popped a couple times last year. I think he does it again. Berrios, my danger zone pick, is he gets double-digit fantasy points and a touchdown today. Let's go.
I will piggyback on yours, and I will give a wide receiver for double digits and a touchdown as well. And his name is Canada's own Josh Palmer. Josh Palmer, in the absence of Keenan Allen, double digits and a tutty today for the Chargers, Andy.
Let's go. Love it. All right. There you go, folks. For Josh, for show, I'm Andy. Good luck in today's games for week 14. You've been listening to the Fantasy Show across the Sportsnet Radio Network.